I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as I was pulling into your parking lot this morning, I couldn't but help but notice that the Presbyterian Church next door was kind of giving away the lead, the sign that says, "You must be born again." I thought, well, how perfect for this morning. As we're speaking about this passage from John's Gospel that has the leader Nicodemus come to Jesus. Now, it must be something quite unusual because he comes, we're told, in the dark of night. He essentially sneaks to see Jesus. Maybe he's worried about the people around him seeing that he wants to converse with Jesus, who knows? But he comes to Jesus, we're told, under the cover of darkness at night. And he asks about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean, all of those things that you have been teaching thus far? And Jesus, he doesn't have a lot of patience at first, does he? He says, "How is it that you are a teacher, and yet you do not understand these things?" He says, "How can I tell you about heavenly things if you barely even understand the earthly things?" Now, it's a little bit unfortunate because Nicodemus has really come out of his way to come and see Jesus. But something is compelling him to find out more. I think he can see, he can sense that Jesus is someone special. Jesus is someone of note. To this point in John's Gospel, Jesus has done some pretty interesting things. He has performed the miracle at Cana at the wedding. He's overturned the tables of the money changers. Jesus has a reputation at this point in John's Gospel, and Nicodemus is very interested to see what it might be. What is Jesus talking about? Because clearly the things that Jesus are doing are things of God. But for Nicodemus, perhaps these things don't quite compute. Everything that he has been told about the Messiah, things to expect about the one who is to come, Jesus perhaps does not quite measure up. He doesn't look like the one that they were expecting. And Jesus says to him, if you want to know God, you must be born again. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Now, I don't know if many of you remember your own baptisms. Many of us were baptized as infants, perhaps as small children. I was very fortunate that I was 12 when I was baptized, and so I remember it perfectly. But I'm afraid that I think the experience was slightly lost on me at the time, because I was baptized and then confirmed 5 minutes later, which is not a process that I recommend. The reason is because the peers in my Sunday school class, the people that I had grown up with, we were now all in the confirmation class. And so, of course, in order to be confirmed, you need to be baptized. And so that's why the baptism and the confirmation within about 5 minutes of each other. And I remember at the time, the water. I was a preteen, so I was a little bit worried about appearance, all those good things. And I remember the priest putting the water on my head and then marking my forehead with oil. And I was thinking, oh, I hope I don't get a pimple. And then later, 5 minutes later, standing there and reaffirming the baptismal vows that I had just made 5 minutes before with the rest of my confirmation class. And I knew even at the time, even if I couldn't really appreciate it, that this was something that was meant to be significant in my life. And judging from the people that came and spoke to us afterwards, people that congratulated us, people that said they would be praying for us, the people who stood up with us as baptismal candidates and said that they would sponsor us, that they would walk with us, this is the church, isn't it? When we think about the life of faith, the baptism is the very beginning. It's the time when we make these public vows, when perhaps our parents made vows on our behalf. But it is the walking every day that is the life of faith. And we can never do it alone. We need to be in community with one another. You need to be in community with each other. I need to be in community with you. Because through this, we are given glimpses of the holy every day. We are being given glimpses, each of us in our different turns, where we, through prayer, hear a word from God, where we're in our communities, we're in our workplaces, in our schools, and we see God at work. And maybe we don't recognize it at first, but if we're able to have a conversation with someone else, then they may say to us, that was God. That wasn't just a coincidence. That was something of the holy, and we need to pay attention. So we need one another. Nicodemus is hearing this from Jesus. You need to be born of the water. You need to make a declaration. You need to understand that this is a new life, a new beginning. But you also need to recognize that it is that Spirit of God working within you, the Spirit of God that comes, that advocate that we spoke about last week at Pentecost, the one who is present in the world now, that has been present before with Jesus, with the disciples, with the church through the ages, and will be present with us long after any of us are here. The Spirit of God will remain. The Spirit of God will be continuing to activate the disciples of the future. And so how do we want to be part of that project now? How do we want to be companions on the journey? How do we want to prepare all the young people who are coming up next, who will be those agents of God in the world, who will be present, reminding us of those things that God has spoken to us in the past, those covenants that God made with us, reminding us of our baptismal covenant, that the promises that we made to be faithful in the reading of Scripture, in prayer, in offering of ourselves, to be faithful in all of the discipleship elements that it means to be part of the Christian community, that it means to be part of this kingdom of God that Nicodemus is asking about and that Jesus is sharing with them, that it is a new beginning, that he can be part of the invitation, but he's going to have to give up some things, maybe some assumptions, some practices of the past, and he's going to have to take on the mystery of God, of not knowing. This phrase that Jesus explores, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is like a wind. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. And I know that sometimes that's incredibly frightening. We want to know where things come from, and we especially want to know where things are going, don't we, as human beings? We don't want to not be able to look around the corner and know what's coming next, but yet that is the life. That is life that we've signed up for. This is the life that God gives us. And we have to be open to where the Spirit is blowing. And we have to be open to being carried away on that Spirit sometimes, and see the places where God is taking us. So on this Trinity Sunday, when we consider all the persons of the Trinity, the Father who brings us into being, who calls us children of God. I love that phrase that Paul gives from Romans. When we cry, Abba, it is this very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are those who are created creatures of God that God made, that Jesus came to us to be part of this humanity, to redeem us. And then the Spirit that carries us forward, that carries us into the place that we don't know, but we can trust God and we can trust Jesus, that the Spirit is leading us where we need to go. So let us give thanks today for all three persons of the Trinity, and give thanks that we are children of God, that we are part of the kingdom of God and part of this beautiful world that God created, that Jesus redeemed, and that the Spirit continues to breathe life into, that brings us forward into tomorrow. Amen.